So what do you think most Americans think about the COVID-19 vaccine?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Now, there's a reason I'm starting out with that question today, and I think it'll become apparent. Now, there's going to be a couple of different topics talked about today. I know that as I look at my little list in front of me of things to discuss. But I ran into a story just the other day, and it disturbed me a little bit, because if you were to watch the mainstream media, read the mainstream press, what, you know, the good news that Facebook is just putting in your face, you know, the ministries of truth, you would think that the fact that we have a COVID-19 vaccine and it's being properly administered in the United States by the new administration, of course, and you'd think that everything's going to be just wonderful. I mean, let's go back to last year. Let's go back to, like, you know, April, maybe even March or May and June. And Dr. Anthony Fauci standing there in front of the world saying, we need to have a vaccine, 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 vaccine. All you heard was the word, we have to have, we must have, we have no choice, we need a vaccine. That's the only way the world will ever get back to normal, is with a vaccine. Between now and then, you'll have to social distance, watch your businesses fail. You'll have to wear a face covering. Well, that wasn't until later. At first, he always said you don't need one. Then maybe it's, you know, patriotic, you know, a sign that we're working together. And then it became, what is it, like three masks today? Is that the latest number, or is it a half dozen? I don't know. I really don't know. But we were told back then, what we need now is a vaccine. And we were told, of course, it's going to take several years, so this is going to go on forever and ever, and don't look at life ever getting back to normal anytime soon. Maybe the end of 2021, maybe 2022 or 2025, who knows? The goalposts, they keep picking them up at midnight and moving them. And this whole thing has just been a joke. The information that comes out is wrong most of the time. But here's something that I found that was interesting. According to a new survey, and this doesn't surprise me personally, but I think it will a lot of people that watch the mainstream, you know, the Rachel Maddow crowd on MSNBC. More than half of Americans don't want the COVID-19 vaccine. They don't want it. The study has looked into the concerns among people that don't want to get, they don't want the shot. 68% are concerned about what is the long-term effect of such a different kind of vaccine. We're going to talk about that in just a few moments, a little bit. What are these things? We talked about them yesterday. We're going to get back into it today. Only 41% of the population in the United States is eager to receive the shots as soon as possible. And I can tell you that a majority of those individuals that want the shot are also up in age. Younger people are a little bit less, well, they don't feel comfortable. There are all kinds of stories that are coming out, and they, you know, Twitter and Facebook, of course, will do everything in their power to suppress any narrative that they disagree with. We're supposed to be, you know, good little drones and do as we're told by the powers that be. And now that the Ministry of Truth considers themselves among the adults at the table with the elites, they are happy to tell you how well it works. You only have a small number of people, and the number has declined a little bit since just December, of those that'll definitely get it, only get it if required. But that number of people that is kind of waiting and seeing, it's shrunk, and those that don't want to get it, well, it's gone up. It's gone up. We're looking at the number of people already vaccinated and the wait and see. and those that don't want. And I can understand the concerns, because this is, we talked about it a bit yesterday, we'll talk about it a bit today. This virus has a lot of people in fear. People that used to say what great Christians they were and went to church, they're scared to go to church. Just terrified. They're terrified about, because, you know, my fellow Christians are going to kill me, even if they're wearing a mask. I mean, we've come down to living in fear. And the Bible talks less about love and more about fear not than anything else of the two. I mean, too many Christians do not understand what it means to be persecuted, to be hated for your faith. They've been too comfortable in their faith, and now they're too worried about this mortal life. And so the church is also being, well, split right down the middle, for lack of a better term. And a lot of people are probably afraid to ever go back to church as long as they live, because of the nonstop fear-mongering that has been done by the press. So here we are. Here we are in 2021, celebrating the first anniversary of the beginning of this pandemic, and next month will be in March will be the anniversary of the 15 days to flatten the curve, and we're still doing it a year later. The goalpost kept getting moved, and it got used for politics. We've talked about that. If you can't see that it was used for politics, it really was. It really was. So here we are. Now, some of the things about this virus seem rather strange to me. We know that it's a respiratory disease. Okay? It's respiratory. We know that. And it transmits by supposedly droplets in the air. At first, they thought it was on every surface, but they discovered that really wasn't true either. So it's a respiratory virus. It spreads, just like the flu does. I mean, really, that's when if you're really honest about it, it does. It transmits like the flu, like any virus does. But so many things about the way we've treated this are so abnormal. Quick example. Somebody said, well, you know, because we're wearing all the face masks and everything, that's why the flu numbers are way down. We're all social distancing and we're wearing a face mask because, see, that's how it stops. Then you ask the question, so why are the case numbers of COVID-19 going up if we're where? Then you get this blank stare, because they'll say, well, no one's wearing them. Well, the flu is down because they are, and apparently we're not wearing them. There's no honesty in this. Come on, people. They've been lying to you over and over again. So we have this respiratory virus that we have to stick a thing way up your nose, halfway into your brain, to pop your eyeballs out to find it, when it's supposed to be in our, you know, in our spit. That's how it's getting out. Getting out of our mouths. You sing and all that moisture and spit goes in the air and people get sick. So we're told. And now suddenly they're beginning to, you know, in some parts of the world, they're saying, well, maybe we need to test by, shall we say, putting the swab in the other end of the body system to find it. And there's just something about that that doesn't even seem right to me. It's more like we're continuing this process of fear and shaming. And we're becoming passive. I mean, to me, it's almost like child abuse to do this to young children that are very impressionable, to be, shall we say, looking for a respiratory virus with a swab in their, you know, bottom ends. Is it designed to be ashaming? Dr. Timothy Gales is my guest again today. And Dr. Gales, am I off base on that there's something about this that's supposed to make us fearful and sheepish and compliant? Is that kind of the plan?
It's meant to be. It's meant to be. And to be a humiliation technique. this, you know, a long time ago, I joked when this came out and went to the eye thing, people started wearing goggles with their masks. And I said, well, there's more openings than that in your body. I said, we're going to have to put a cork in your rear end and maybe earmuffs also. And lo and behold, we're almost there.
Yeah, I know. We laughed about it. But, you know, but see, once again, as we mentioned yesterday, that they keep picking up the goalpost, you know, the goalpost. And they don't even move it on the field. They've taken it outside of the stadium into the parking lot, and now they're, you know, they're three counties away with the goalpost. And we're supposed to just chase after this and believe everything that they've told us, which to date, I couldn't begin to tell you. This is like climate change. I've heard we've had 10 years left for the last 50 years. Let's be honest. For 50 years, we only have 10 years left. Every prediction that should have happened by now has never happened. Yet people are still buying into the lie because they're afraid. They just live in fear. And
the
there's
power
some
of propaganda.
The power and right now, with social media, you know, being the new ministry of truth for too many people.
Sure.
I don't. Twitter is something that this program used to be on. It's gone. I pulled the plug. I'm done. I will not play their silly games. These are stupid games with stupid prizes for stupid people at Twitter. I'm done with them. I never liked them to begin with, and I don't want to be associated with it. Our Facebook presence for this radio show will be done. I've kind of put an end date on it. I've already got it in mind in a week or two to give enough time for people that were getting notified that the new show was out. That's all that they were getting. I want to make sure that they have found an alternate way to know when the new program is, you know, can be heard. That's all I've been using it for. I don't debate anybody on it, you know, for this page at all. Nothing. I don't. But I'm done with it too. I don't want to be associated with this program on any of these platforms by the time we get to the end of this month. I want to be totally abandoned from them with this program. I don't want to be. I just can't do it anymore. I'm done. I'm not going to argue with anybody on Facebook anymore. I'm done. I can't do it because you're not. It's like wrestling a pig in the mud. The pig loves it, and I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to play their silly games. I mean, time is too short. What does your heart tell you when you look out there between the virus? And we were talking about community yesterday, and I want to get back into that in a moment. Mm-hmm. This virus was used to break us apart as community. Social distancing. Stay away from somebody. That person that you see in the store, he's not your friend. And don't let him get near you because you never know. He or she or that little child in, you know, the sitting there in the cart could cough on you and kill you. We are being made to fear everybody.
And being forced, right? It's not social distancing. It's social conditioning. Mm-hmm. They're conditioning you to behave a certain way, to hate or fear your neighbor, to distrust your neighbor, to stay away from your neighbor instead of loving your neighbor, as God would say. It is the inversion, as we've talked about before, of God's created order. Mm-hmm. So we're told that there is a virus so bad in the world, a pandemic, that they have to threaten us to take the vaccine.
And then they have to test us to find out if you even have it.
Yeah. So here's this horrible virus that they've got to threaten me to take it and then test me to tell me if I even have it or not.
I know.
What type of insanity are we living under? Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, yesterday we were talking about resisting the Great Reset. Mm-hmm. Resist it. We talked about doing that locally. We talked about supporting local businesses, starting your own local business. These are things we have to take back management of things locally and even statewide. Look, Biden should have no say on whether or not oil wells in North Dakota stay operational, or coal mines in West Virginia stay open, or trees in Montana are selected for harvesting.
Think of towns like Bluefield, West Virginia, if you know where that is. And it sits on the border of Virginia and West Virginia. And if you go back, oh, I don't know, to the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, the population was thriving. Businesses were thriving. Families were thriving. Schools were growing. Churches were opening. And people had a great quality of life. And now more than half the population is gone and dying off and leaving because the whole Bluefield was all the coal industry. It's gone. It's being shut down.
And by who? But, you know, by our sugar daddy, which is the federal government. That's what's happened. Listen, when the federal government tries to retaliate against these states and communities by cutting off federal funds, mm-hmm. doesn't matter. It won't matter because the states will be producing jobs and wealth for themselves yeah. independently. And so, but we're so scared because we've gotten hooked like a drug mm-hmm. to the federal money that we've allowed them to control us. It's time to wake up out of the matrix.
Well, we're
that's where we're living.
Look. Something that you heard last week, I heard, I looked at my wife, and I'm going, you got to be kidding. And I always wondered in my mind, and I think you probably did too, and many that are listening, we've thought about this one topic. How does the government get all this control over the people? And I'm thinking of people that I know in law enforcement and people that I know that have served in, you know, the Army, Marines, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, doesn't matter. And how are they going to, you know, there's so many of those people that we know that came through those branches of service that are just wonderful individuals, church going, love their Lord, love their country. And I'm thinking, how in the world is the government going to enforce a lot of this? And then we start hearing from this guy with his general's uniform on, full of all the little markers and identifiers, on his jacket. And it's like, we need to purge the military of anybody that has dangerous thoughts.
Can you believe that?
And so I'm going,
they're already doing that.
So, yeah, I'm saying, so now we are going to purge from the all-volunteer military anybody that might be, you know, Christian, and anybody that may go to church. Oh, you voted for Trump in 2020. Well, you know, you have dangerous thinking. We can't allow you to walk around with a firearm anymore. You know, you can't. You know, you can't. You know, there's something wrong with your mind, and yeah. we don't want you.
80% of the military, by the way, 80% of them voted for Trump. This, you know, and that's the citizens. These are the domestic terrorists now. Everything's been changed yeah. around. In our current political environment, it's becoming a fact of life that the hard left can and will try to harm people that oppose their ideology, period. The big tech companies and the government are helping them do this. Uh-huh. So we've got a big, big, powerful, money-filled group that is helping them do this. But so what? You stand up. You know, there's a passage in Job chapter 38 where God, you know, Job's whining and complaining, and God finally, a whirlwind comes, and God speaks out of the whirlwind, and he says, who is this that darkens counsel without understanding? He says, gird up your loins and be a man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think that's what we need to do. It's time to stand up in the face of this bull and say, we are not going to take that. I'm going to start supporting local. I'm going to organize local and do things the country's always done. I'm not starting a revolution. I'm not starting a resistance to the federal government. I'm just working locally with my community. And I'm going to call it a social community network. How's that? We're going to have social community networks for the social well-being of each other. Mm-hmm. Let them come and say that's something that's against what they believe, because they're all about social equality. Well, then I am too. And we're going to take their words, their phrases, and we're going to apply them to what we know is right and what is true and what is good. And that's where we need to go. This cancel culture needs to be canceled.
It's a reprobate. And look, let's be honest. The Bible makes it clear. The cancel culture is run by the reprobate mind. Period.
Yes.
There's not. Mm-hmm. There's no other way to put it. That's the politest right. thing I can say. It's a reprobate mind that runs the cancel culture, because it does things that are unseemly. It does things that are not just. It does things that are evil. It does things that are an abomination before God. And, you know, they Christians, We saw it in all these little dictators in states like Michigan and states like New York. You had little dictators like, you know, as I always like to call him, you know, Saint Anthony Cuomo, the Pious of New York. You know, it was like, you don't get to worship because I'm going to shut your building down. I'm going to tear it down. You know, I mean, this
turn your electricity off.
Yeah, you know, you're not going to have water or food. You know, you can't worship. And I'm thinking, there is the First Amendment to the Constitution does not have an exception for a pandemic or anything else. It doesn't. And you know, and why we think that, you know, there's that suddenly this pandemic made by man, let's be honest, this is not a natural pandemic. It is a man-made fear. It is a virus that was played with technology that was banned in the United States in 2014. We're not allowed to do that. So what do? Hey, give it to China. They'll do it, just like Mikey will do it. You know, China will be thrilled to take our hard work and continue to make this virus more contagious. You know?
Right. Of course.
And then we're lied to, too. Here's something else that I've learned. And I watch some of these talking bubbleheads on TV, and you know, they say things that I know without history and science tells me that they're wrong. Yet people are wanting to believe the worst, and I don't know why. You know, here let me back up a second. You go back to December. When you had, and you go back to before Biden became president, you go back to November before the election, he's saying, you know, before this virus is over, it's going to kill 500,000 Americans, at least. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Biden was saying, yeah, 500,000 must die before, you know, like the end of February. And that's because I'm predicting it. And if you watch the death clock, even though it disappeared off CNN, now that Biden's president, it will magically, it'll hit 500,000 people. It's going to hit real soon. I mean, because Biden said it had to. And they'll get it any way they can. And then the one thing the news media never talks about, you know, number one, is it really COVID-19 only? Of course not. Is it universally killing people across the board? Absolutely not. Elderly people with underlying conditions, people that don't seek treatment early enough, you know, and so what, you know, you start looking up, okay, so how many people died of this? And you start getting into, or what's the average age? And suddenly it jumps into the 80s and into nursing homes. Now, wait a minute. Every year between what, October and end of, you know, till we get to like April, maybe, a lot more people than usual die in nursing homes and that are elderly. It's just the numbers are lower in our summertime. Am I correct?
Yes, you're correct.
And then they go up starting in October. This starts ticking up because you're confined indoors. The fresh air is gone. The vitamin D level is down and our resistance is down. And we're in closer quarters for a while. And, you know, things like the flu and other contagious diseases begin to spread more readily, not outdoors, but indoors.
Sure.
So you got all these people in the middle of winter wearing face masks so they don't die of the coronavirus, going, you know, walking down in the park. I'm going, do you actually think the coronavirus is flying there with a little jet, you know, a little miniature jet you can't see to chase you down and kill you? I mean, you know.
None of it makes any sense, and yet they're all doing it. But I can tell you now, the corona or the SARS-CoV-2,
yep,
which is what you're talking about, the SARS-CoV-2 is in the shot. It is in the supposed vaccine, which isn't a vaccine. It's a gene therapy. And they have it in there sequenced, by the way, with 16 genetic fragments of HIV-1 and HIV-2 and the simian virus, which comes from chimpanzees and apes. So you're getting that put into you, and the only reason they have those 16 genetic fragments in it is so that it can take the messenger RNAs and it can put these HIV fragments and the messenger RNA, which is the SARS-CoV-2, into the nucleus of your DNA. And you're getting the disease through the vaccine. Okay, this has been talked about. I told you about this from 1968. It was suggested by the Club of Rome that they can depopulate the world in this way. And I'm telling you right now, this is awfully suspicious, isn't it?
It is.
So you're looking at these are going in there. You've got some company saying, hey, you know, Johnson & Johnson says we only utilize DNA, not mRNA. Well, it's both the same. They both have the 16 genetic fragments because they both want to get into the DNA and change it.
Remind me of something real quick. I heard another program mention something we talked about, I think, almost 2 months ago or maybe a month ago. Mm-hmm. And they just happened to catch up to it. There's that report that kind of predicts things in the future, and it showed this severe drop of population in the United States.
Deagle report.
Exactly. And all of a sudden, from 330 million down to, what, 90 million or something like that?
We're 70% reduction in population is predicted for America by 2025.
And I don't know who these people are. I noticed somebody else picked up on it. We talked about it, what, 3-4 weeks ago.
Deagle is a very well-respected analytic group who's been doing this for years.
And we really don't. And it just like, okay, so they put this thing out with no commentary.
No explanation as to why.
Why?
And around the world, not just America. Yeah, around the world.
But we're one of the worst, you know.
Yes. Well, why would that be? Because we're the last remaining stronghold of freedom.
Amen.
In the world. They have got to reduce us. So now you hear that Biden is going to have military help bring the vaccines.
The new purged military. You know, we have to, you know, what was that, you know, that line, you know, you go back to this, a couple of old movies from the 60s, and I'm thinking, you know, you know, your mind isn't right. And, you know, we got to get your mind right. And that was, I'm trying to remember, Cool Hand Luke, you know, mm-hmm. What we have here is a failure to communicate. We have to get your mind right. And that's kind of what is happening. Our schools have been used, and people didn't listen in the 1980s to people like Phyllis Schlafly. Remember her?
Yep.
Phyllis Schlafly was a prophet and didn't even realize it. She was saying back in the 80s, these ideas of school to work, taking away history, taking away the idea of common sense and logic, making mathematics for many so unusable it can't be understood. In other words, we can be easily manipulated because you can't understand. The new math doesn't make sense. Take away great literature. Take away history. Take it all away and replace it with, you know, political correctness and what you want these young people to think and do and say. Yep. And then in time, we will begin to have footholds in all industries. And now we've got the, you know, the lunatic, you know, fringe of the 60s, you know, that the hippies, they're running the show.
Well, it's very easy to social condition everybody now because it's all based on feelings. And, you know, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at entire generation that has been numbed and dumbed down. And television numbs you.
Even churches have been dumbed down.
Yes,
too many churches have been dumbed down. You get within Roman Catholicism, you have people running around scared of the virus and you have bishops that won't stand up for what is right. They're politically expedient because they love the money. They love the power, right. But they don't want to stand for the gospel. And so too many of them are spineless. We have many so-called conservative politicians. They are totally spineless. They are swamp creatures, period.
Yeah.
And yet we keep voting them in and thinking, you know, we keep thinking that somehow it's all going to change just by, you know, we're spiritual warfare at the ballot box doesn't work.
Character does matter. And almost anybody we vote in, they either blackmail or buy them off or a combination of both.
I know.
And then they own them. That's what we see around the world now. It's gotten to such a state. I can't even point to maybe a handful of people that you can count on one hand that I think still stand up for what's right. And take one heck of a beating because of it.
Let's be honest. Let's be honest about something right now. A lot of these, you know, dynamic big churches with the guy that's a great author and sells millions of dollars worth of books and DVDs. A lot of these churches, unfortunately, are run on feelings. How did I feel going to church today? And when you are basing your faith on feelings, not the facts of the gospel, you're building your house on sinking sand. You know, that wonderful hymn, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." Your emotions and feelings are sinking sand, and we've got to take a break, because if we don't, we're going to run over again. And I want to remind you, this is the program Truth to Ponder. And when we come back, I do want to talk more about community, being prepared for community, and some of the things that are, you know, we're going to see the 500,000 number, whether it's real or imagined, made up or forced to happen. We'll have, quote, 500,000 that will have died of the coronavirus. Funny, CNN never gives you the average age or where the majority of the cases occur, because if it did, it would take so much of the fear factor out. It really would. But we're going to take the fear factor out when we come back. And if you really want to find out more, go to our website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. And I'll give you the mailing address if you want to use just regular correspondence right after this break.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The Jerusalem Widows in a moment. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Now, in the sixth chapter of Acts, the first believers encounter their first real internal problem. Was it doctrine? No. The problem was widows, Jerusalem widows. There were a lot of widows in Jerusalem, and their needs weren't being met. The disciples go from the spiritual heights of Pentecost to dealing with needs, particularly food distribution for widows. Why? Well, back then, as now, Jewish people would go to Jerusalem to die, and men would take their wives, and when they died, their wives were left as widows, often with little means of support. It was one of the acute social problems of first century Jerusalem, and it spilled over to the believers. It had to. It has to. You see, every generation of believers must address the problems of its age. It spills over. If we don't let it spill over, then we're neglecting the Great Commission. So we have to deal with the social problems of America or whatever society you live in. The problem of materialism, of divorce, of broken family, sexual promiscuity, abused women, fatherless children, abortion, alcoholism, ruthlessness, drug addiction, and a lot of messed up people. It's not their problem. It's our problem. And so it is with us. We have to be filled with the Spirit like they had to be. But it's not enough. We must, by the Spirit, engage ourselves in the Great Commission. Our generation, our world cries out in need. You've got the answer. Reach out, touch the world. It's your mission field. And God will bless your life with power, victory, and joy, just as He did the first generation of believers 2,000 years ago in the book of Acts. Want more? Ask for the Magnificent Seven. Now, how'd you like to receive special daily meditations and teachings with the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus? To give you victory for every day of your week, and updates on Israel and prophecy, a free subscription to Sapphires, and the incredible The Mystery of the Temple Doors, all free. You'll love it. How do you get all this? Easy. Just remember Jesus' Hebrew name, Yeshua, and dial it. All you do, just dial 1-800-YESHUA-1. You'll be blessed, but call now. 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now, I invite you to join with me in the Great Commission to bring salvation back to the Jewish people and to reach millions of unreached peoples around the world on five continents. Just call now. 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or write me direct, The Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. It's The Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem. Peace be to you, my friend, and Messiah, Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Welcome back to part two of the Tuesday edition of Truth to Ponder. And hopefully tomorrow or Thursday, I'm going to be sharing with you some things after I kind of sort them out. My wife and I took a little trip to look at something. We're not sure what God is trying to tell us. And I don't even want to begin to even tell you what it is until I know. But just pray for wisdom. As we're trying to discern something that may be something God would have us to do. or maybe somebody else, but it just put in our pathway to learn, do some research, and try to simply understand. And so there's a lot going on in our world today. This world is changing. You know it and I know it. In my lifetime, the things that I'm seeing, I shared last week, especially on the Friday and weekend program, I kind of shared a few thoughts about, I can remember when I was in high school, you know, back when the dinosaurs roamed the face of the earth. You remember, you know, we sat around the fire talking about, no, we didn't. It wasn't quite that bad. But I can remember some of what I call the apocalyptic music of the 60s and early 70s that was out there. You know, songs like Jimi Hendrix, 1983, A Mermaid, I Will Be, kind of talking about the world as a disastrous, burnt-out mess. There was another song, and I'll share it tomorrow. I do it from time to time, that really stuck with me. Besides from the 60s, the Eve of Destruction, you know, all these songs about, you know, terrible things happening. But there's a song that I remember really well, and I think I'll share it on the program tomorrow. And I hope you can hear it then. It was Paul Stuckey, who was with the group Peter, Paul, and Mary. And he wrote this song back in around 1971, I guess, maybe 70, called John Henry Bodsworth. And it was a wonderful song. John Henry Bodsworth, late in 68, decided that the time had come to settle his estate. And it talks about a guy that decides, I can't live in this crazy city anymore. I look at the cities today. They're crazy. I mean, look at New York City. The millionaires have had to leave. They're being taxed out of existence. Their stores are being shut down. And the mayor is like Rome fiddling and dancing the night away. New Year's as his city is crumbling. You know, what a fool. And he decides to move out to the country and build a new life and begin to get into the good book, the reading of scripture. And years later, then it goes, John Henry Bodsworth, you know, 1984, the city's dead, the world is red, there's a knock upon his door. Every verse of scripture, every word he read, it prepared him for that day. And I think what's happening right now, and my guest today is the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales, and I think what's happening today is that God is beginning to do something just like that. We need to get away from emotional-based Christianity and get into word-based faith and look for the leading of God's Holy Spirit. Because we're 37 years late, but welcome to 1984 and welcome back to the program, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales. Am I off the beam in sharing what I just shared, or does it resonate with you too?
Yeah, it resonates with me. I mean, look, that's what we're doing here. We're trying to give people an intellectual way of looking at things. The pandemic lockdown situation has provided a sufficient wake-up call to many conservatives, mm-hmm. moderates, you name it. We've seen financial effects of pandemic restrictions in the blue states, hundreds of thousands of small businesses closing, tax revenues imploding, millions of people relocating to red states just to escape the oppressive environment. So you're exactly right on what you're saying.
I'm telling you, you know, and even though Georgia allegedly voted in Biden and two Democrat senators, I don't buy it. I mean, I don't care how many times you scream on the rooftop, there was no cheating. I have a home in Georgia. I have been in Georgia for, I don't know, almost 47 years, even though I have spent a lot of time in Florida too. But I'm too connected to this part of the world. And I know that Atlanta has grown immensely in 40-some-odd years. I know corporations that bailed out of, Hartford, Connecticut, New York City, Boston, that have come to the metro Atlanta area. And I know they bought their lousy voting habits with them. Mm-hmm. But I don't think for a moment that without cheating, without what they, you know, that they really pulled off that election, I mean, without cheating. It'll be funny in 2022 when a Republican Governor Kemp and his Republican Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, has got to run for re-election. I bet they're not going to allow the cheating they allowed in 2020. I mean, I don't care. They're going to suddenly have this change of heart. that we must go by the law as written by the legislature. No, Brad can't change the rules this time around. He can't allow that. We can't pretend we still have a pandemic in 2022. We're going to have to purge those roles. And people that claim they live in a house that is nothing but an open field, 50 miles, east of Macon, Georgia, we can't have them voting either. I mean, this is the craziness.
Well, even Time magazine just came out with an article admitting that they stole the election, but they had to because, they're fighting fascists.
We had to get rid of Trump.
We couldn't let. So they came out and said there was a conspiracy. They used that term. They said they stole the election, but it was for the good of the country and the Constitution and so forth because of those terrorists. That's gaslighting, just so everybody knows that. But we turn this around. We look local. We've got insane things like the Green New Deal on that are coming. We've got the reduced carbon emissions. All of those things are just as scary as the Great Reset, and they're part of it, really. I look at the computer platforms. And the one thing I can say is the other thing we should do kind of in a local way is get away, as you have said, as others have said, get away from the big tech companies and government as much as we can, because there are people who can do alternative platforms and internet locally that can do it apart from the big tech companies. And if we can do that, we can have alternatives to big tech and social media.
Absolutely.
And communicate. But also don't be always so dependent on your phone, your text message, your computer.
I know.
There was a thing back in the day, especially in the revolution in this country, called the Committees of Correspondence. One of them was, let's think of Paul Revere riding on his horse. The British are coming. Word of mouth, a runner. They did that in ancient Greece. You send one person to go let other people know what's going on. Something's coming. Somebody's here. Mm-hmm. It's not as quick as a text, but get used to it. Mm-hmm. Because that's where you need to get things going. During Nazi Germany, there were people even used carrier pigeons. And they did things to not be detected. And man, I have faith in humanity. Yeah. We can develop ways to communicate apart from Big Brother's eye in the sky with the Starlink, with all of these things that are good. We can figure out ways and we can communicate with one another. But we have to learn to be independent again.
Mm-hmm.
And to be our own people, because it's in those communities that we can start to rebuild liberty-loving people and communities.
That's the John. That's why I. If you, I'll play it tomorrow on the show. Maybe I'll play it Thursday, but I will find it. I know I have a copy of it. Maybe if you have access to a computer, you can look it up. Paul Stuckey, and it's called John Henry Bodsworth. And when you listen to it, I never thought about it. In the 1970s, the idea of 1984, it's all going to come to an end. And we had these incredible prophecy preachers saying it was going to be 1988, Jesus was coming again and the rapture, and don't worry, but it's all going to happen because Israel became a nation in 1948. A generation is 40 years. Jesus said that generation, and so it's got to be 1988, friends. You remember all that? That may be a little bit before your time, because you're younger than I am, but boy.
No, not really. I remember them very well.
And then you have this guy, Dr. Wissenit, with his book, The 88 Reasons Jesus Shall Return in 1988, and when it didn't happen, his revised book, The 89 Reasons He'll Return Later in 89. That didn't sell quite as well. Then we hop into the 90s, and it's the Y2K. And I can remember all these, so-called prophets of God. There's some that are still out there on the radio and TV to this day that hyped their stupid books for 2 years. Judgment 2000. God is going to bring the world to its knees. The banks are going to fail. The power is going to turn off. Airplanes will fall out of the sky at midnight when judgment hits. And when it didn't happen, they just reinvent themselves, and then they come up with other fake prophecies that don't come true. And what burns me is, I look at these guys and I'm going, okay, here it is, 2021. You're like 23 years later, you're still peddling the same baloney. that doesn't, you know, and you keep reinventing yourself. At what point do you not understand you're a false prophet and you need to shut up and shut it down?
The problem with it also is that it creates in the minds of so many, they've heard them. Now they don't listen to people like you and me who are giving them facts.
Yeah.
Who are telling them, yeah, the end of America as we know it.
It's coming. It's
not
here.
Only happening, it's going to even get worse.
It's happening.
And we're like those prophets. Yeah, sure, I can still go to Walmart, buy what I want.
Well, of course.
This is what we're looking at. Listen,
but you can't go to that little store downtown anymore. No. That little, you can go to, a chain restaurant, but you're going to find out a lot of the local restaurants in the big cities are closed. They're boarded up. They're not coming back. Why? They're bankrupt.
A depression is not when I lose my money.
Mm-hmm.
It's when I and all my neighbors do.
Yeah.
And we have none. This is the point of the intentional communities. Look, all of the things we spoke about are possible, but it takes organization and effort. And these communities can become safe havens for civil liberties.
You know,
we can't be isolated from each other anymore.
We used
have to be connected.
We used a virus that, you know, COVID-19, the average age of death from COVID-19 in developed countries is about 80, with a median age in the United States of 83. Median, middle age. I mean, that's the middle. It's 83. It's not 53. It's not 43. It's not 13. It's not even 63 or 73. It's 83. That's the average median age of who has passed away from this virus. And with all the symptoms, and I read this, look, when I remember this so well, and I've got to make this clear. I'm working last year, and it is the month of March, and I'm looking at all this stuff that comes through every day in my briefing, you know, package. And I'm reading something. The CDC makes the following announcements, and I'm reading it. You know, they make a lot of announcements. And well, they're changing how to code deaths. Okay, well, how are they doing that? Oh, the following symptoms can now be assumed, not confirmed, assumed. If any of the following conditions are met, you can assume the death as COVID-19. I'm looking at this and going, assume? What do you mean? You're not going to know? You're going to say because somebody had a fever, it can now be COVID-19.
You can lie if you want. That's what they're saying.
And also, if it's pneumonia, it too can be COVID-19. And of course, if you're a Medicare provider, if it's COVID-19, you get more money. I mean, that was in the bill.
We all have the choice, right?
I'm going, wait a minute. Truth. So what you're saying is if somebody has a fever, an upset stomach, a stubbed toe, I mean, I'm looking at this list, I'm going, there are like 50 other things that can kill you with the same symptoms,
right?
And now they're magically all COVID-19? And then here was the real killer. Pardon the pun. I'm looking at it, and it says, and effective on April the 4th, we will no longer be counting any more flu deaths in the United States. Huh? In other words, don't bother to tell us if anybody died of the flu. No, just call it COVID. Thank you.
Yep.
I mean, I'm reading this and I'm going, I come to my workstation, you know, socially distanced from everybody, like, you know, we had to do. And I look at this individual, a doctor, and I said, Doctor so-and-so. I said, did you read that briefing? And she looks at me and says, oh, yeah. I said, what is your thought? She said, it's a bunch of, and I can't say the word. I didn't know. It's like, I will say this was the most non-political person that ever walked the face of the earth. Doesn't know a Republican from a Democrat, from a Libertarian, from a Communist. You know, they don't care. She's all about her husband, the mountains, and her medicine. You know, that was her. Mm-hmm. And she was the interim in there because she was just so skilled. She could have been in any place in the country she wanted with her skills. She just hated politics. But she looked at that and goes, you know, this is going to make, you know, this is going to run the numbers up into the hundreds of thousands before the next year is over. That means, you know, we're going to just make it up as we go along. And she goes, the so-and-so hospital, they're going to cash in on this too. And I'm looking at the 33,000 reimbursement rate now instead of 12 or 11,000. And she goes, this is going to open a pathway. She said, we're going to have hundreds of thousands die now. I mean, just because of the new rules. It doesn't mean it's real, but that's what it's going to be. And I'm looking at her and I'm looking at this and I'm going, we've been played for fools, friends. I mean,
and we're joining in it. You see, look at Solzhenitsyn again. He made a very interesting statement when he came out of the Gulag and wrote his brilliant work, Gulag Archipelago. But he said, we know they're lying. They know they're lying.
Yep.
They know we know they're lying. We know they know we know they are lying. But they are still lying.
And we're still believing.
You betcha. And we're joining into this lie.
Well, what was that
and
song?
And people know it. They can say this is BS, but I have to do it or I'll lose my job.
Let me tell you. I mean, let's go back to the golden year of 1970. And I remember, maybe it was 71, can't remember. I'm an old disc jockey, and sometimes the memory fades. And Rod Stewart with that gravelly voice. If I listen long enough to you, I'll find a way to believe that it is true, knowing that you lied, straight face, while I cried, but I still look to find a reason to believe. I mean, yep. I think that song fits where the world has come today, where you got people that are in fear and looking for a reason to believe that people are dying, falling down in the streets, and looking for a reason to believe that if I just wear a face mask, if I just put on goggles and gloves, and if I get the vaccine, I will live. That's what I want to believe. And I'm looking for a reason to believe that that vaccine is all true and that Fauci never lied. What say you?
I say he is a liar. I say that this isn't even a vaccine. And if we just do our homework and look through the lies to truth, then you're going to see it all exposed. Because light always exposes the darkness. And I've made a vow in my own life. I will never allow myself to be succumbed or people I'm over to the darkness. I will shine a light no matter the cost, whatever the cost is. And that's what we have to be willing to do. We're at a time right now. Look, 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for those in authority, for all that are in authority, that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this honesty, right? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. He gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher, an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, and I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. That is where we need to stand. Live not by lies.
Yeah, the sad part is we have been living through a whole year of misinformation and a whole lot of lies out there. It's hard to know what to think or what to believe. You and I have tried to be a watchman on the wall and to give good, honest, and accurate information. And it's not always easy to find. Do we get it 100%? I'm sure we don't. But we're trying. We're trying to give you information you can use. My guest today, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales. I'm going to try to get you back on later this week if we can. Right now, I want to take just a few minutes and share something that you really need to listen to and understand. I'm going to talk more about this tomorrow, I'm pretty sure. There's something going on, and I can't put my finger on it. I talk to other people of faith, and it doesn't even have to be within my own, shall we say, denominational setting. I'm talking about people that truly love the Lord regardless of their church body, and we all get along. And there's this little voice inside of many of us, especially those of us that are in some kind of ministry, that God is doing something. And I don't fully understand, but it's like, pay attention, listen, keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, and listen to those little voices inside of you that are witnessing to God's Holy Spirit something that is happening around you. My wife and I, this is strange. God works in very unusual ways. We end up doing certain things, and I love when you look at your life, that little crossroad somewhere. You made a decision to go a little bit more this way versus bearing to the right. You went to this direction instead, or you decided to maybe take this job over something else, and it gave you a career. You know, we look back. All these little crossroads can completely change our direction in life. And sometimes God uses things that we don't even recognize just to get our attention or to put us in a place where suddenly we would see something that otherwise we might miss. Without going into a whole lot of detail, got some family members that live in another state that are thinking about coming, somewhere toward the south. They want to get out of their blue state, and I don't blame them. They're tired of, government lockdowns. They're tired of the duplicity, where the governor gets paid, but he'll shut your business down and try to throw you in jail and fine you into the poorhouse. All in the name of COVID-19. And here we are. So they kind of said what they were going to need, and we started looking. Like anybody else does, you start looking through the real estate ads, online. And this one place, I can't tell you yet where it is. We're going to look at it in just a little bit today. And I'm recording this program before we have to go. So I don't know what the result is going to be. And I may not even know all the answers tomorrow. But I hope by Thursday I can share more. If it is something that God is putting truly in front of us. We went to look at it, and it's something that I would have never considered looking at, but I have this very strange voice inside of my head saying, you're looking at opportunity for God's kingdom here. Look carefully. And my wife and I, when we're driving a little later that afternoon, we didn't say much. We looked at the place, and we're going to look at it more today. And she said, she goes, honey, there's something about this place that I don't understand it. But there's something about this place. What is it? I said, you're right. I'm feeling the same thing. Well, it really won't work out for the family. It just not for now. But suddenly I'm looking at this, and we're both praying about it. And it may be where we need to be doing something which will be very important in terms of church and ministry. I'm really certain that we'll find out. If it is, you'll know more about it between now and maybe Thursday or Friday. I don't know. We'll know more, I hope, and we have to do a lot of praying. But God is getting ready to move his people around and setting us up to be able to continue. We're in the world, but we're not of it. We need to begin to develop more of those things to be more self-sustaining and not dependent upon the tech tyrants in our life. If you believe in the work of Truth to Ponder and you want to keep it on radio, the airtime is the only big bill we have. I'm not a bill. I'm free. Would you consider maybe writing a check? A small one will have anything. And send it to Ancient Word Radio. 21 Berkshire, Berkshire, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, Sky Valley, Georgia, 30537.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.